We have a young lady now that's going to share her thoughts with us. And I've known her since she was in diapers. And she is, well, it was a couple years ago, I guess, I knew her. No, it's been longer than that since I knew her. But anyhow, this is a wonderful lady. She used to be an air traffic controller. Controlling that air traffic? Who would want that job? I have enough to control my own self. And she is wonderful, and she lives between California and Maine, and Florida. She separates the year into three areas where she lives. She is what you consider extremely intelligent. She's also very funny, and she's also somebody that I love very much, even if I don't get to see her most of the year. But I've been cheering for her for a lot of years. I don't know how many, probably 20, or she'll remember and be able to tell you. But she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. I know you're going to love our Phyllis DeMont.
Oh, is this for me? Hi. So, Millie asked me to talk on a Wednesday, and she said, are you available the 9th? I said, what for? Sure. She said, oh, I want you to talk at Forum. I said, what do you want me to talk about? Spirituality. Okay. That's a pretty broad topic, but... And I've been to a lot of Wednesday night forums, and I've heard a lot of talks, some of them better than others, as you can imagine. So I'm going to tell you three stories tonight. One's about my mom, one's about some friends of mine, and the third one is about Millie. Okay, the first story, well, you'll see how they all tie into spirituality. The first story, in the 70s, I was in the Air Force, good thing or bad thing. I was stationed in Phoenix, and years and years before, my father's oldest sister, the oldest of 12, and he was the youngest of 12, she and her husband moved from Maine, the whole family's in Maine, and they moved to California. And so when I'm in Phoenix, my mom says, go visit your aunt and uncle. Ma, this is at $2 a minute, right, on a payphone, right, back in the day, right? Ma, they're not like 2 hours away. It's not like going to Boston. And no, they're the only family you have for 3,000 miles. Go visit them. All right. So I finally went. And because I was an officer in the Air Force, I got to stay at $6 a night on the beach in the visiting officers' quarters. But I didn't know that at the time. So I drove over, and they lived on Claremont Boulevard. Claremont Drive? No. I didn't know San Diego, never been there. But I drove up there and dutifully went and visited my aunt and uncle. I'd only seen them twice before in my life. The first time when I was about 10 years old, they came in a Volkswagen van, camper van, with California plates. You know, that was pretty cool. I thought, hey, they're my aunt and uncle, they're pretty cool. But I didn't really know them. They came again when I was in high school in a Chrysler towing an Airstream. I thought, oh, things are looking good. Anyway, I went to San Diego. Visited them, and, you know, they're family, but you don't really know them. What do you talk about, right? You just talk about, oh, yeah, it was a good trip. It was long, and, yeah. Well, we're retired, and, yeah, we're enjoying life, and so I don't remember much about it, but I remember when I left their house, and I drove down Claremont, and there's the hill, and there's Mission Bay. And I said, I'm going to live here when I leave the Air Force. And that's what I did. So when I got out of the Air Force in 81, I packed up my bags, got my money out of my savings account, got in my car and drove from Maine to California. Gave myself a week to find a job and get an apartment, get a roommate, and I did that. And, well, that's the first time I came to San Diego. After I got here, my aunt B and my uncle Hector, would bug me all the time. Come and visit. Now, they're in the 70s. I don't know, my 20s. And, yeah, okay. Maybe later. Maybe later in the month. But we agreed that I would see them once a month. And I discovered that when my uncle laughed, I really liked that. I really liked that he laughed. And he laughed at my jokes. And my Aunt Bee was, she loved to tell stories. And she could tell the same story differently every time. So it was really good. It was like a new story, but it was the same story. So we had a plan that every Thursday, the last Thursday of every month, I would visit them. And I was taking saxophone lessons at the time, and I was honking. My aunt would say, she'd call me on Monday, "You're coming Thursday, right?" "Yeah, yeah." I called her Matan B. "Yeah, Matan, I'm coming." "Okay, you want turkey, ham, whatever, I don't care. It's a free meal, I'll take it." Now she would invite friends, they would invite friends, and I'd come to their house, "Bring your saxophone." I'd have my little music stand, you know, my book number one. They'd get up and dance. I was playing some song, and they would sing to it. "Play that one again." I was like, "Wow, all right." So it was a really good time. Excuse me, I got to get some water. Thank you. Anyway, so I learned to love seeing them, and I learned to love them. So, of course, the moral to that is listen to your mom, because she bugged me for a long time. So after a while, I ended up getting a job in L.A. I moved to L.A. And what happened was I met a bunch of people that were into psychic stuff. And I was a little bit interested, but you know, I didn't really believe it. Didn't really believe a lot of it, but a friend of mine in San Diego died. And another friend said, "Oh, you should visit Adele Tinning. She will do the table tipping." I don't know how many of you know about Adele. And you know, I'm like, "Oh yeah, right, okay." Total skeptic. So she invited me to meet with Adele at her house. Now, Adele had a little wooden table about 2.5 feet by, I don't know, 4 feet, something like that, in a kitchen area. And when I walked in and my friend introduced me, I'm looking at this table. Well, all right. Now, there's a woman, and the woman's daughter had flown from San Antonio, Texas, to visit Adele to get a reading. And, you know, they're there, and she's taking time out from this reading to greet me. And she starts moving the table, and I'm like looking under it, and what do you got, pistons, cables? How are you doing that? And she lifted, she like suction cups on her hand. She did this, and it went shh, like that, and I thought, wow. And she said, "Oh, you don't believe that, huh?" I said, "Go ahead and push it." So I'm pushing on this thing, and it's like concrete. Now she had my attention. And I said, "So how are you doing that?" And she said, "I don't know. It's a gimmick that God gave me. Now I have your attention. I'm going to talk to you about love." Kind of freaked me out. But over the course of some short time, in the next few weeks, I talked to her a few times. And she talked to me about love, which, you know, I knew a little bit about, but it's not the same when an 80-year-old woman is telling you that about God loving you and how we should love each other. And I asked her about things like prisons, and she didn't believe in prisons. She thought that they were just cruel and, you know, punishing, and we didn't need to punish people by putting them in prison. She thought that the world needed farms where people that didn't have enough love growing up, and that's why they were criminals. Because if you had all the love that you needed when you were growing up, you wouldn't need to do anything. You'd love yourself and love other people and get along, and there wouldn't be any crime. So you would take these people and you would put them on farms where they would learn to take care of injured animals, little animals, and then injured big animals, and then regular animals, and then handicapped children. She had a whole progression. And then handicapped adults. And by the time they got through this progression, they'd learn to love themselves and everybody else. And I thought, that's a great idea. But I thought, well, how would you lock up the farms? So my mind was always on the left side, you know, trying to figure out stuff, right? Anyway, so then I ended up moving back to L.A., and I was talking to a friend of mine. Some of you might know her, Peggy. We were walking along on a sidewalk, and I was telling her this same story that I told you about Adele, meeting Adele and pushing on the table. And I see this gold energy coming out of her chest right into mine. And it really freaked me out. And I said, what was that? And she said, oh, you saw that? I said, yeah, what was it? She said, oh, I was sending you love. Kind of freaked me out. So with the thing with Adele, when that table was moving, and I didn't understand it, but I had to believe it, you see it. It's happening. You have to believe it. It's happening. So I had faith. And then when this thing happened with Peggy sending me love and I saw it, I had to believe it was happening. I saw it. So I did have faith. Anyway, I think that's my phone. That's probably Peggy calling me to make sure I give her. It's Adele. Hey, Adele telling me. You better tell that story straight. Yeah, okay, Adele. So Peggy and I got into the whole thing about psychic and all that. And we went, this is kind of a funny thing. We went to a bunch of different psychic fairs and stuff, got readings. You know how you get the readings and get all these little trinkets and you're trying to get energy and like, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, all right, whatever. We went to a place, it was a church kind of like this, where people were having a psychic fair. And I'm sorry to use that term so many times, Millie. I know.
It's okay.
Okay.
All right. Don't or anything.
Well, I didn't know any better at the time, anyway. So it was a church like this, and we got readings, and people said, oh, you should go to, I can't remember the lady's name, maybe Maggie. You should go to Maggie's class. You should go to Maggie's class. So we went to Maggie's class, and this woman had so much ego. She said she was so powerful she could wave her hand over a cup of caffeinated coffee and make it decaf. And I thought, boy, Nescafe would give you a job in a second, you know? But of course, I didn't believe her. And she said that God loved her so much. She was driving down the freeway. It was probably the 22 or the 57. This is in Orange County, right? She's driving down the freeway. God told her to get in the next lane. And right after that, she saw the car that was stopped in the lane. She looked in her rear view and the people behind her crashed into the car. And I'm raising my hand, doesn't God love those people too? Well, there were a bunch of things that happened in that class. One of the things that I thought was really nice, you know the top of a calendar that has a little picture on it? She had a bunch of those. She probably had 20 or 30 of them. And she had each of us take one, put it on our desk, put our hands on it, and see what we could divine was on the other side. And then somebody would get up, oh, I see trees, and they'd show it was trees. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So there was something that was going on. I didn't understand it. But I guess I asked too many questions because I got a phone call one evening and said, oh, Phyllis, we're having the ceiling repaired in that classroom, so we're not going to be having class this week. We'll let you know when they start again. They never called back. I guess I challenged her a little too much. But anyway, then I ended up coming back to San Diego and now looking for a house to buy here. I had a real estate agent. Was it Sharon or Karen? The twins? Do you remember the twins?
Sharon.
Sharon was the real estate agent?
Sharon, yeah, because Karen did the lighting.
Okay.
Sharon, Karen.
Yeah, the twins. Well, it was a lady who was driving me all over town showing me houses. And she, you know, you get to talk to your real estate agent. What are you looking for? A house? What do you want? You know, all that stuff. Oh, where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't. I'm kind of a skeptic. And, there's a really good church that I go to. You should try. Oh, okay. And they're having an angel touch. And in those days, Millie was parked in the corner there. And I came. I think I paid $5. Do you remember? It used to be like $5. And I got a reading from Millie. I never met this woman. And she's telling me, I get this M. And I'm thinking, Maine? Anyway, so she gave me this reading, and most of it I didn't believe. She told me I had a friend named Kate, but she didn't know that I had a friend named Kate. She just pulled Kate out of the air, right? Kate with a C. Anyway, she said, Kate's having a little difficulty. You know, you can send her a thought, a prayer. You don't have to put a stamp on it. It's like a phone call, you know, just, oh. Now, she said she's having some difficulty. You should pray for her. And I'm thinking, Kate is a rocket scientist at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. She's got a great life. She has a house in Altadena. She goes to Central America on vacations. I don't think Kate is having any problems, but okay, whatever you say, you know. And then it's, oh, you should come to church. So we came to church, got some readings. Oh, okay, you know. You know how sometimes you can just, you know, okay. Now, Peggy is gung-ho. let's go. Everybody's talking, go to class now. When I had already been to whatever, Maggie's class, and I'm thinking, oh no, this lady, whoa. So I'm not too thrilled about coming to class. So we get here, and it's a big circle, and there's 40 people here. It's the first night, Thursday night class. And this is back in 94, okay? And I'm, all right, okay. And she pulls out a Bible, and I'm not a Bible person. Sorry, Millie. Anyway, she pulls out a Bible, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, God, and she starts reading out of it, and I'm like, so I'm like, well, you know, what do I need for groceries tomorrow? You know, I'm just like, I'm just not paying attention. And it wasn't that I was trying to be rude. I was just not interested. And then people were telling stories, and I thought, oh, everybody's got a story here, you know. And then we went out on break. Do they still call it the carriage house?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we went there, the break room, and Peggy's like, oh, what do you think? What do you think? Let's go. No, really. If this is Bible study, I'm not interested. And I've already had that experience where blah, 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 you know, I don't need this. No, let's stay. Please, please, please. Okay, so circle. I sat over there, kind of where John is. And there was a woman over here. They turned down the lights. Nobody told me that was going to happen. She's sitting there saying, now we're going to turn down the lights. Is anybody afraid? And like 40 people there, nobody saying anything. No, I guess I'm not afraid. But the exit lights were covered, and I thought, oh, okay, all right. I'm close to the exit. I know where it is. But, you know, your eyes adjust. So my eyes adjusted. But what I saw that very first night, there was a lady sitting over here who had high-top sneakers on that glowed in the dark. And I thought, what an idiot. Oh, God. And this woman had been in class for many years. And I thought, she should know better. What is she doing? Let's call attention to me. I think I'll wear stickers next week, you know, that glow. A little moon over here or something, right? That's what I was thinking. And I sat there with attitude. I sat there and I thought, the people were getting up and crying and all this stuff was going on. And Millie would, as she does in the first few weeks especially, How are you doing? You having a good time? And I was sitting there, she just walked right by me and went to the next person. How are you doing? Because she sensed my energy, right? And so I just sat there for whatever, a couple hours, thinking, oh, I'll be so glad when this is over. So they turn up the lights. This woman doesn't have on high-top sneakers. So I'm like, huh? So I drag myself over there, and I, remember Claire. And I tell her the story. Oh, tell Millie. And I'm like, okay, well, I got to own it. So she's... And I have to wait. There are four people waiting to talk to Millie, so I have to wait my turn. And I own it because that's the attitude I had. And I went up to her and I told her, and she said, oh, honey. She said, that's Claire's love energy that you saw. But your brain didn't know what to do with the information, so to put it in a format that made sense to you. And I was hooked. I was hooked, and I, for 9.5 years, came to Thursday night class. And I couldn't wait to get here. Oh, it's Monday. Oh, I got to wait till Thursday. Because when I was here in class, I experienced love and feelings of connectedness that I'd never felt in my life. And what was so cool about it was, yeah, I was an air traffic controller. I worked with mostly men. Some of them were pretty harsh. And most of the time I'd give it back to them, so they left me alone. Or they knew to be careful with me, right? But I had such love for these guys. And that would last about a day. And then by Saturday and Sunday, I was back to my left brain, you know, all that stuff. Second year, maybe it lasted till Saturday. Third year. So the more years I was in class, the longer that lasted. Until actually I could look at people that were homeless and think, instead of thinking, what a bum, why doesn't he get a job? Well, you know, that's how it is, right? Now I think, because of Millie's teaching, I think, wonder what his life choice is. I wonder what is he supposed to learn? And what am I supposed to learn about the interaction that we're having? I got less judgmental. I'd like to think more loving and kind and generous. And all of that was because I listened to my friends about staying in the class. And the last thing, the story about Millie is that I've met a lot of people, and I've had a lot of friends. And for those of you who haven't been to class, I don't know how many of you have not been to class, if you have an opportunity next October, get in here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, because it will so affect your life, it will so affect all your relationships, how you see everyone in the world, how you see yourself, how you see the troubles that we have, how we don't need to blame our parents, we don't need to blame other people for how we react, we don't need to blame, period. We can be loving and generous and kind and still be humorous and still have our little edgy side if we want, but mostly it's about love. And whether Adele Tinning does something to get my attention about it or Millie spends years teaching me about it, it's really, that's what it's about, you know? And if you don't feel it, if you don't feel love, I encourage you to come to Sunday church because you'll feel it there. And then if you can make the classes. But getting to know Millie, and 1 year for class night, I had some t-shirts made that had wings on the back. And on the front, it said, to know Millie is to touch an angel. You remember that show, To Touch an Angel? Anyway, I still have a couple of those. They were $8 if anybody's interested. Thank you, Mary. I want you to come next time I talk, too. And I guess I'm going to end this all by saying, Millie, I love you. Aww. Thank you.